Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Wow, we get into everything. We get into the Dodge SRT Hellcat. We get into how they test electric cars and range and how Edmunds does it. We get into
some Porsche talk.
Porsche hot confusing cup car. I don't know why everyone looked at me like I was some kind of leper when I said the word cup car, but either way, vindication. As per usual, first I'll tell you about Empire Covers, and we'll also tell you some cars that we think would be good value for you to invest in. Empire Covers, nowadays, cars are designed to keep you safe on the road, but how about providing the same protection when the car's off the road? Empire Covers, high-quality, affordable covers engineered to protect against rain, UV rays, tree sap, pollen, anything that damages a vehicle, for premium protection by the American Armor Cover, proudly made in their factory in Kentucky. Plus, covers for RVs, boats, motorcycles, and more. All covers come with a free multi-year warranty, free shipping, plus an extra 15% off the entire order with the promo code CARCAST. Visit empirecovers.com/CARCAST. Use the promo code CARCAST at checkout. That's empirecovers.com. Protect what you love. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The show's going to mend it. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. Man, Carl, it's Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea over there.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just digging through a little bit of news, trying to find the notes, but the Quail is happening.
Yeah.
That's the press release I got. They're like, we're doing it.
Max Zapata is going to load up on some caviar.
I'll close him back down.
Some oysters.
They're going to have to take another year off.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, we were trying to figure out, Matt and I were speaking about this yesterday. I don't know if Matt figured it out. Maybe Chris can figure it out, is what the mark is. Who are we? What's the tribute? What's the theme? What's the theme for the lawn? At Pebble Beach, what's the theme for the Quail?
Yeah,
and most importantly, what's the theme for the track? Because they always do, you know, 50 years of IMSA or, you know, Nissan Motorsports or whatever. And I don't know if they've declared a major yet, but it's interesting to me always to find out sort of what the mark is. I think a number of years ago, the Quail, I think, did BRE and they wanted one of my cars over there, you know, that's how it works.
They did Lamborghini with all the Miuras out there, which was great. We love that one. I just looked at the notes. I didn't see, it was all like COVID, this and that, and we're doing the event, and I didn't see anything about the featured mark yet.
But, well, we have some stuff out there.
This is for the Quail.
The Quail's the 50th anniversary of the Lamborghini Arocco.
Arocco and Yarama.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to be hanging out in the buffet line.
Good for Nick Santoro, right?
Yeah.
This is his year to shine.
I don't know. This is like we should celebrate the 50th year of the raid on Entebbe or something. It's like, I don't know. I don't feel like that went that well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and French cars?
50th anniversary
of the Citroën.
Of the Citroën and 50th anniversary of Alfa Romeo Montreal. Really? Yeah. 50th anniversary. Yeah, those Montreals are...
There's going to be some wacky-looking cars out there.
Kind of
the Yarama and the Montreal and the Citroën.
Montreals are kind of cool pieces, kind of.
Yeah.
They're moving up a little bit. They're a little bit wacky. But I think that's going to be more time for us hanging out in the food line and drinking wine.
That's good. I'm starving.
Yeah, me too.
I just can't wait.
So that's what that's the Quail. I guess the next question is what's going on at the track
and
what's going
Pebble.
On at Pebble.
Yeah, I mean,
They're not going to let those wacky Uramas onto the lawn at Quail.
We know they can't go to the racetrack either. So.
Right. So that'll be that. Yeah. They can't sort of weird.
Celebrate those the Urama?
Those are three of my least favorite vehicles. And like I include three-wheel Cushman meter maid carts in that in that group. So all right, well that'll be weird and bad, but doesn't matter. Yeah, like, there's going to be tons of cool stuff.
I'm trying to think for like Pebble. Like, what do we do for? You know, like what's in line? What have we've seen in the past? And then what do we do for? I feel like Ferrari's probably been celebrated quite a bit. It was nice to have all the Muras there that one year. Mm-hmm. But like, what's, you know, have they done? Has the
track is the 52nd anniversary of IMSA?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
That's weird. I just said the 50th anniversary of IMSA.
Yeah.
At the top of the show.
Yeah. Because remember we talked about this at one point where there was like a Japanese car thing going, and we talked to like Tommy Kendall, and I was like, "You bringing the RX-7?" He's like, "No, because the next year is supposed to be the IMSA, you know, and I'm going to bring the car for that, or one of his cars, you know." It was one of those things. So, I guess that does make sense. Ooh, so now what would you bring?
Oh, it got planted in my head or something, and I just pulled it out. Well, the IMSA cars is, as best I can tell, are like the 85, 86 GT1 championship cars. Yeah, those are IMSA cars.
Yeah, well, those don't run. What else you got?
Right. Thank God Sean pulled the engine out. I said, do not pull the engine out. Pulled that engine out. It's been taken apart for 3 years now. Why do I bother just saying don't do it?
I don't know. I'm not trying to rock the boat here. I'm just saying,
anyway.
You know.
All right. So there's that. Those are IMSA cars. I don't know if the Oldsmobiles are IMSA cars. I don't think so. I don't know if the 2 plus 2s are probably IMSA cars. I have to kind of figure out what the exact definition of IMSA and what year.
Yeah.
What years it is. It covers the 935 is probably an IMSA car, but I don't know. Max Zapata, try to figure out IMSA and the range, like from what year to what year, and what cars, some of the cars that were in there, so we can find out.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at the 80s, that would, because we're talking four of your cars are 80s, not the 935, but you know.
Right.
The 84, the 85, the 87, the 88, maybe 90 is the Oldsmobile.
Yeah, I wonder if the
Peerless chassis car, and what was the other 89?
And the Cunningham Z car may be an IMSA car from 94. Yeah. I don't know. We have to kind of figure that out because we don't know. All right, so the Lexus RCF Fuji Speedway edition. What is that?
It's the RCF is their two-door coupe. It's their kind of their sporty coupe. And the Fuji edition is basically just sort of a halo for, you know, sort of for the end of this, because this car is naturally aspirated V8 with no automatic start-stop feature, which I can't imagine anybody at the EPA is going to let that fly for another year. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to just have a naturally aspirated V8 that sounds fantastic, doesn't shut down the motor at every stoplight, and it's just, you know, it's just kind of the last version. So Lexus said, hey, let's do a version with carbon fiber hood, carbon fiber wing, lighten the weight a little bit, make it a little bit more aggressive with the splitter and the diffuser. And, you know, it's a limited edition car, so it might hold a little bit of value. It does jump up into that $100,000 range now. But just the weight savings without having to retest any of the engine or calibration, the weight savings alone was enough to get like a 4.20 to 60 down to like a 3.9.
Really?
And it's good. I drove it. It's fantastic. It has I drove like the dark gray with the exposed carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
But the interior was like a red leather and cloth inserts on the seats.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a not Not an Alcantara, though. It was like a cloth insert. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was good. It sounded good. It's fast. It's comfortable. And it has a little bit of the boy racer look. You know, it's got the over-the-top mm-hmm. wing and stuff on it. But
and paddle shifting.
Yeah, paddle shifting. But the engine sounds fantastic, and the V8 makes great noises.
Yeah. How many liter?
That's a good question.
It's probably not over five.
I think it's 5 liter.
It's five.
I think it's 5 liter, and it's 470.
Well, I said not over five, so I'm right.
Yeah, 475, 489. It's just under 500 horsepower.
472.
472?
Probably tax up to 8,400.
Yeah, it scoots along, and I think the transmission in it now is like 9-speed or 8-speed. And but when you get on it, it makes, you know.
Rear wheel drive, not all-wheel drive. All right, so we'll see if we can figure out our IMSA definition. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. DIYers and pros have trusted JB Weld for 50 years plus. Projects, big and small, home or garage, use the world's strongest bond. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives as a sponsor. I personally know the owner, and the JB Welders are all good people. I was just on the phone with these guys last week. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. Use JB Weld on metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics, or even Sonny's tennis shoe, because I have a box. I have a drawer of JB Weld at my house, and they got something in there to take care of everything, including Sonny's rubber tennis shoe. The sole was coming off, so I JB welded that bad boy. Keep it in your kitchen drawer or, you know, craft supply drawer, your garage as well. And JB Weld, by the way, acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner, too. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, you go with Herculiner. Right, Matt?
Yeah, so JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA.
All right, any IMSA breakthroughs? Max Pat is looking.
We're still looking. There's a lot of information on IMSA, and it's not all aligned.
Well, I guess the year it started and the year it ended. I guess that would be a good place to start and how that worked.
Well, but, like, it was founded in 69.
All right. That's something.
Okay. So, yeah. So, potentially the 935 could have been in there. You know, and of course, all the 80s cars we talked about. 69 is a little older than I thought it was going to be for...
Yeah, well, sometimes stuff was founded and then caught on 8 years later or whatever, but we'll...
And like, IMSA is still a thing. Like, they're the sanctioning body for, like, the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and stuff. So it's like we're trying to find what it means within the vintage or historic.
Well, I would put in, maybe put in Google Image IMSA race cars, 1980s and see what cars pop up.
I guess you could just search for Paul Newman IMSA race cars and see if that comes up with something and see how many are on the list that you have, and then we can kind of take it from there as well. That could be...
It's a good thought.
You know, just a...
All right, so Ford's got their Mustang Mach-E Performance Edition.
Yeah, so
I've seen a few.
We're starting to see the Mach-E's on the road, getting good reviews. Sales are, you know, orders and sales are happening. Ford making a big push into battery technology, investments into making batteries. But we always knew that the Mach-E GT and the Performance, the GT Performance Edition, were going to be coming out. And now they've been announced. The Mach-E GT will be $61,100, which includes the Destination. Destination is $1,100. Which they wanted to be like $59,995 or whatever, which basically they did, and then at $61,100. And the Mach-E Performance Edition is $66,000. But now we're getting into the high-performance version. This is where the Mustang name starts to play. It has – I believe it has the MagnaRide damping, the active suspension, the Mach-E GT 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds. With a 250-mile range, and the Performance Edition, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds, with a 235-mile range.
Yeah, that is damn impressive stuff. And the next kind of question as we, you know, start getting into the electric cars, everyone always wants to talk about range, range, and range. Mm-hmm. But the next question is how long does it take to charge to get that range? Because to me, the next breakthrough is sort of, do you have to plug it in overnight or all day versus 4 hours or some version of that?
Right.
And, you know, I feel like probably the manufacturers are sort of realizing that range sells and the speed of charge is not quite as enticing. People want to know what the range is. They they never really hear them say, here's how long it takes to get to that range.
They've been starting to push things on saying like, hey, you can get 80% charge within 2 hours, or you can get, you know, you can get 50 miles in 30 minutes. They're starting to push that a little bit, like anxiety thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that we've been talking about, talking with Alistair at Edmunds, is the actual range. They've developed a loop where they test their vehicles. They put all of the electric cars through the same loop. They've really put the science behind it. And
who's they?
Edmunds.com.
Oh, Edmunds, sorry.
And then they brought out all the EVs to test them. And the Porsche Taycan blows away the estimates, and which is interesting. Tesla meets it or even came a little under the estimates, which is interesting. And on the Mach-E, they just tested like the long range ones, the Mach-E, not the performance, the Route 1, I think it's called, is the 300-mile version. Mm-hmm. And on their loop, they actually beat it by about 12%. I think they got over 330 miles on that charge when the manufacturer's estimate was 300. So that's one of the things they're really looking at, is the accuracy of the numbers coming from the manufacturers and who's meeting it and who's not meeting it.
Well, it'd be interesting, and I don't know, you know, what Edmunds is privy to, but there must be a standard that the government uses to measure all electric cars, because you couldn't just have Ford and Porsche and Tesla all giving us their version of a loop, you know, or of a test, whatever. Yeah. And so it makes sense to me that there's some, and they're not breaking it down to city and highway, I don't think, anymore. They're just saying range. So it makes sense to me that the government has some sort of criteria.
Yeah.
And they say you must go X amount at 60 miles an hour for such a period of time, and then we're going to have a stoplight every whatever, and, you know, all that. I mean,
that
just sort of makes sense. So the government has dictated that, otherwise none of these claims could really be substantiated. So the question is, I guess, a couple of things. One is, you know, you bring up Porsche. Does Porsche, I guess, when they import the cars here, they must then go through whatever our version of that range is. I wonder if their criteria is different in Germany or different in Europe or Japan, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be kind of a universal obstacle. I guess what I'm saying is here's what I'm saying. We have the 100-meter dash. It can't be 104 meters some places and 97 meters other places. Like, otherwise, the records won't stand. You know what I mean? It won't.
Right.
We won't be able to substantiate the record. So the Olympics just goes, here's how far you're swimming, and that's for everyone. And here's how far you're running, that's for everyone. So there must be that. Otherwise, you couldn't have the claim of being the fastest man or the longest range. You know?
Right. So what I think Tesla is trying to – or excuse me, what Edmunds is trying to do is – and they do this on the gas engines as well – is what's the real-world version? Range, miles per gallon, range for a gas engine car, fuel tank. And they're not necessarily saying – ours is better than the government. They're saying ours is a reflection of the real world. So we're not questioning the government's testing. We're questioning the manufacturer's claim based off of the manufacturer fulfilling the government rules, right?
Look, I love Edmunds, but I would say that until we know that the track is 100 meters exactly for both runners,
yeah,
we don't really know what the claim is, if the claim is accurate. So if you say, I can do 100 meters in 9.3 seconds, but if you're only running 95 meters, then you're not, the claim is different.
I got you, yeah. You know? And they're figuring that. Though,
yeah.
Because they know what the government, how the government tests. They know what the manufacturers are saying.
I'm guessing that Edmunds, because they're good, is recreating the government. It wouldn't behoove them to make their own track. It would behoove them to simulate whatever the government has mandated. And then if they simulate it, then they can accurately go, the Porsche went over what they claimed. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, but recreating the government test, just all it does is provide accuracy to if the government test is accurate or not. They're saying that's not necessarily how you use the car.
Yeah, so, it's not that. What I'm saying is if you say that I think I'm accurate in this. If you say that Porsche exceeded the claim and Tesla maybe went a little under the claim or right to the claim, in order to figure that out, we have to recreate the track exactly. That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, we don't know what the claim is.
Right.
But we still know Porsche did better than the claim.
Yeah. What they could do is recreate the government test to see if the claim was accurate and then do their real world test, their loop, which has freeway and city and stop.
Right.
And say, what are you really going to get?
Right. So that's them saying that's two separate things. That is, here's how they really performed, which again, see, when you do the 0 to 60 claim, then you say that the Porsche 911 said 0 to 60 in 4.4, and then Edmunds gets hold of it and they see how long it takes to go 0 to 60. But if the government is 0 to 63 or 0 to 67 or 57, then we don't really know if the claim is the claim. So
yeah,
it's good to know that in real world conditions, here's what these do, but it's still kind of hard to go apples to apples on the claim until we get the exact definition of it. And I don't know if that information's available.
Yeah. Oh, you could also just remove the claim from it completely and just have Edmunds basically say, this is the range.
Right.
This is what we came up with in a real world scenario. And I think that's kind of what they're going for. So regardless of claim, you know, the Taycan got closer to like a 300-mile range. I'm not sure exactly which configuration, which was on the higher end of things. And some of the long-range cars are hitting that 300-mile, 330-mile mark. And some of the more high-performance ones are hitting that 230, 250 mark. So they've got it all kind of broken down. But it's good. It's an interesting part of what we need to start looking for when we're shopping for new cars, because everything's changing, right? The technology's changing. You're right. Not just how fast a thing charges, but what's the efficiency of that charging? Like, you know, if you plug one car in and plug another car in, they're both in a 220 outlet. Does one cost more money still? Does one cost more energy to charge that that battery?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, my thing is I feel like if you could get 50 miles of range in, you know, 2 hours, that's kind of all you'd need, because that's that sort of thing where, you know, you wake up and you realize you don't have enough to get to the airport or enough to get to work, but before you get your coffee, you could plug it in and then go get dressed and pack your bag or whatever and get 40, 50 miles out of that thing, you know, before you took off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting another thing for Max Panda to scour the internet for, which is what is the government criteria for range on electric car? How do they test it? Do they have a test facility? Do they leave it up for each mark to certify, you know, themselves? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there has to be. I mean, obviously, if there was no sanctioning body, then the manufacturers would just go, well, what do we do the best in? And it'd be like, ironically, I think with electric cars, it's the city versus the highway. So they would just do city driving, I imagine.
Yeah.
But so it must be mandated somewhere.
I'm sure. Of course. Yeah. That's how we get all of our fuel mileage and everything else, right? And
then right.
It's changed a little bit. You know, when there was all kinds of – there was a thing years and years ago about, you know, all the window sticker mile per gallon things have – nothing's accurate. Why are they so inaccurate? And the government's like, oh, yeah, everything's tested at 55 miles an hour on a freeway. And they're like, well, that's not accurate anymore. Nobody goes 55 miles an hour even
yeah.
on freeways because cars got safer, roads got better.
My my head on it is it doesn't have to be accurate. It just has to be the same for every car.
Right. And yes, and that's kind of the point of Edmunds' test as well. They're going, we do the exact same loop when we test them. They did a big test where they brought all the cars out at the same time and topped off all the batteries and did whatever and then try it. But yes, when they bring cars in on a regular basis, it's all about like doing an apples to apples comparison.
They put the car in a dyno. Chris is funny. He put EPA and then he put in parentheses, Environmental Protection Agency. I
just
got it.
You info.
We're aware of EPA.
I thought of not putting it. Like Adam might call me out for it, but I'll just give him the info anyway. And I was burned.
See what happens.
Either way, we saw losing.
Lesson to all the kids listening: never try.
Yeah, noted.
So they put it on a dyno, and they just put the same program into the dyno, which I should have thought of.
Yeah.
And
it's a simulation.
And they just put the exact same simulation because they couldn't really do it. Like, who knows if this guy braked a little early into the stoplight or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, the opposite of an electric car is that Dodge Durango Hellcat I saw parked in my driveway or parked in my parking lot
it's
out there.
It's bright red.
That thing.
Let me hit this Durango ad, and I'll tell you about driving it, although one isn't really related to the other. Dodge is, you guys have heard they've opened the orders on the 2021 Durango SRT Hellcats, the most powerful SUV ever. They're only going to make these exclusive for 2021. They were going to make only 2,000 units, but they got so many orders in, they said they're still going to make it for the 1 year, but they will fulfill all the orders. So you'll get 710 horsepower, a new aggressive exterior styling, new interior driver-centric cockpit, and all buyers of that Durango Hellcat will get a pro instruction full day of racing at the Radford Racing School. You know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today to schedule a test drive.
Yeah.
So I've been driving the Durango, and it's interesting because Dodge at this point is really just winning the war on taking – their platforms, long in the tooth, Charger, the Challenger, even this Durango, and saying, hey, let's just keep tweaking, making some revisions. Let's see what we can get out of it. And they keep winning. They keep winning in sales with all of these vehicles.
I think, as I recall, just glancing at it, maybe on Bring a Trailer, that those Dodge SRT, I guess they're Dodge SRT trucks from the early 2000s with the Viper engine and the 5 or 6 speed, those things are holding their value.
They are. They're really moving because the regular cab version you could get with a manual, but then they did a 4-door extended cab.
I know. They gave me one. They gave me one to drive for a week, like I was going to drive it. Or maybe a couple days, I was driving it in and out of Loveline. I was like, this is a ridiculous vehicle to get around town in.
Yeah. But the Durango, it's a big SUV. It's a 3-row SUV. The only thing in the performance world that size is Mercedes has like an AMG G63 3-row, whatever. I forgot the model name of it. But everything else out there, you know, BMW and Lamborghini and Audi and all the hot SUVs are not quite this big, 5,500 pounds. But then you realize anything Dodge throws that Hellcat engine into is just fun. Like, the engine is so addicting. I mean, you get the exhaust note, you get the whine from the supercharger, mm-hmm. and you realize it just makes you grin. You know, fuel mileage be damned. Like, it doesn't, you know, even if they say it gets 12 or 15, depending on how you use it, you can't keep your foot out of it. So you're going to get mm-hmm. 9.
Right.
You know, I actually do like the Jeep Grand Cherokee Trackhawk, right? Mm-hmm. That's the same engine, but in the smaller SUV, seems a little more nimble, easier to throw around. But this thing is fun, but it's just a drag race, you know, monster of a vehicle. They claim 0-60 in like 3.5 seconds, and some of the people testing it are beating that number. They're running 11s easily in the quarter mile with this thing at 5,500 pounds. But you realize you're moving so much mass, you're moving so much weight. When you get into it and you want to get on it, you kind of feel like you need to roll down the window and yell out, "Everybody clear the way," because you don't know what this vehicle's going to do.
Right.
You know, it's like just the one they sent is red. You're like, that's good, because everybody sees this thing and hears it coming down the road. But I will say the Durango, being able to make revisions to that platform over the year, revise the look of it. The interior is really good. The infotainment system is big. It works. All of the icons and the colors are big and attractive. It's in the dash. It's not stuck up on top of it. That part, I think they nailed it. And you get the fun bits. You hit the SRT button and you get the fully programmable, you know, street mode, track mode, and you can set the intensity of like shifts and launch control and drag race mode with the Christmas tree. Like, it's got all the fun bits you'd want in like the Challenger or even the Charger, but it's in the SUV. So mm-hmm. It's over the top. It's silly. I'm sure it's, you know, it's exactly what you expect from a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. It's fun. Like, if you've got to, I can't wait to go. We should all go to the theater and see that thing in the theater. But if you're going to have like a 3-row SUV mm-hmm. and you want to have some fun with it, it's a blast.
Yeah. I'm wondering, and maybe when Max Pata gets some time, we can look it up on Bring a Trailer. But like I said, those Dodge trucks with the Viper engine in them, that's the kind of thing that I thought would have fallen off a cliff, you know, price-wise. You know,
yeah.
It seemed like the kind of thing that would kind of, you know, you'd pay sticker for it, and then it would, you know. Then it would kind of fall off after that.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me look up.
Yeah, you can look it up on
the old Bring a Trailer
on your phone, because I seem to recall a couple of those.
It was the SRT10, I believe, right? So let's see if.
Max Pata.
Yeah.
IMSA, you had some prototypes up there, but I guess we're looking at non-prototypes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as I said, it's their 52nd year, so. And they actually celebrated their 50th year last time you were at the Historics, and when you brought the 935. But I have a list for top 10 cars of all time if you just want
to go ahead.
Read that off. Okay. So number 10, the Jaguar XRJ9.
All right. So that's a prototype or GTP type.
Number 9, the Ferrari 333 SP.
GTP or something. Prototype.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, it's one of those slideshows, so I'm just going to let this thing load. Okay, that's the Corvette C7R at number 8.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Number 7, the Porsche.
Wait, what year's the C7R?
C7 was right before the C8 that's new, so the last however
okay,
many years.
Last
yeah, it's yeah. been part of the IMSA yeah. series since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
The Porsche 911 Carrera RSR is at number 7.
All right. Well, maybe bringing the pink Porsche.
Yeah, the Beverly Hills.
Seems pretty IMSA-ish.
Yeah,
Audi
car.
Number 6, the Nissan GTP CX Turbo. Number 5 is the Porsche RS Spyder. Number 4 is a Porsche 935.
Ooh.
You have one of those. Number 3 is the Eagle MK3.
Is that a gurney thing?
That's a gurney thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then number two, the Audi R8 LMP.
Yeah.
And the number one car is a Porsche 962.
Yeah, that makes sense. So there's a 2004 Dodge Ram SRT 10 Viper engine with 4,000 miles. Yeah, you couldn't put any room. It's not like you own that truck when you have like a pool cleaning business or something.
Well, here's a little bit of...
Current bid's 40, ends in 2 days, so who knows?
Up on Bring a Trailer, I've seen them, you know, here's one with 32,000 miles that's sold for $32,000, and here's one with 364 miles that sold for $72,000.
Yeah, maybe I saw that one.
You know, so yeah, they look to be in the 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s range.
Yeah. Well, they're hanging on, and I think they're trending up. I think there's a, it's kind of one of those arguments for modern collector cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole deal is it used to be how old is the car, and now it's kind of like how few did they make.
Right.
And even if they're more modern cars. So that car is from, you know, 04, but they probably didn't make a ton of them. And thus, they get into the collector car range.
Right. Well, did you see the Cobra R? The Mustang? The 2000 Mustang Cobra R.
Is it a red one?
It's the red one. They were only red in 2000. Oh. They made 300
yeah,
of them.
That's why I said the red one. Yeah.
300 of them.
They made 300 of them.
Yeah, it's up to 83,000.
Mm.
So, you know, certainly gone up. You know, and in 93, they made 107 R models.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that, you know, the one still wrapped in plastic that sold at Barrett-Jackson a couple years ago for like $132,000.
Now, do you have the R?
I do not. There's only 107 of those.
Oh. Well, what do you have?
I just have a regular Mustang Cobra.
Oh.
It's 4,993 of those.
Why even bringing it up then, dude? Yeah. Let's get back to my 935.
Well, I said the R. I didn't bring up the regular ones. But,
yeah. Loser. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So again, look for small batch. We had, I think you and I were talking about the Porsche 924 that sold for like $260 on Bring a Trailer because
like
it was like a club sport.
Yeah.
Right. And they made 15 of them or something like that. And kind of the point is the lowest on the food chain, I would say, somebody could make this argument, but I would say the Porsche 924 is about the lowest on the Porsche food chain. Now, you could go, not what about the 914? Well, they had a 914-6.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you're talking about the 1.8 or 1.7 or whatever, they did like a 1.7 or 8 and then a 2-liter and then a 6 or whatever. But maybe the 9, you know, and then you kind of go 928 and you go, yeah, but it's a V8 and they're kind of coming up in value now. So the 924 is the least, I'll put it to you this way. If someone is a intense Porsche enthusiast, they do not own a 924. So
yeah,
that's all you need to know about
one.
That's all you need to know about the 924.
Yeah.
But that one sold for $260. And it sold for $260 because they made 15 of them.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, obviously it's beefed up. It's got a roll cage and, you know, factory, blah, blah, blah. But that's kind of my argument is the numbers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When they make a small amount. That's why I thought our 911 RS Club Sport or whatever the hell we got the latest car, the
GT3.
Yeah, the GT3, but I'm trying to think of the name. Is it Club Sport or Club? I'm trying to think of the name of that that car. I know it's a GT, well, our car, which is a GTS3. I got too many fucking cars in my head. What is our 911?
Your 2000 is a GT3, but the other one is a 911S.
Yeah, the GT3, but it's a club sport, right?
Yeah, Max that one I'm not exactly.
The point is I think they made 55 of those cars or something like that, you know, from the factory. If you can find small batch from the factory, even if it's modern, that's probably a good collector car. And as far as I can tell, those GT3, I don't know if they're GT3 RSs or S something.
I think
or
yours is just a GT3 R.
R, right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a club sport, but there's a word that I'm spacing out on in this mix somewhere, but we'll figure it out. The point is, I think those cars are still a little undervalued. I see them around for, you know, for a Porsche collector car. I think I've seen them around for $100,000 or something like that, which if you take a look at the 924 Club Sport going for $260,000, the 911 version is still a good value, I think. I'm sort of surprised that the price of those cars. Find the title of that car.
I was looking for it too.
There's no other nickname other than 2000 Porsche 911 GT3 R.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it on the 911S either. On the 7.
Oh, sorry. What I'm thinking of. Sorry, and you guys could have helped. When I say you guys, I mean Matt. Cup car. That's what I was. That I was taking my club sport and mixing it up with my cup car. That was the phrase I was looking for, cup car. But how many of those they made. I think it's in the 50s, and then see if you can find one for sale, cuz don't you think those cars are good value?
I do. I mean, any you know, especially in that Porsche world, when you start getting into any of the GT cars or any of the racing cars, I think anything with a little bit of the possess. But I think like you were saying, even that 924, when you get into that finite of a number, 15 is a very, very small batch. I mean, we've looked at some cars that are, you know, we talked about some of the vintage Lamborghinis, and there's 300 or 100 or 116 or 120, those are really, really, really low numbers, but 15.
Yeah. No,
that's where the money
is. I agree. At. And my point is you take an undesirable car and you make just a few of them in the Club Sport edition.
Yeah.
And now it's worth $250,000, $260,000. All right, let me hit Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do, right? One or the other. And now you can get your bundle going with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's easy because Geico makes it easy. Visit geico.com today. That is geico.com today. All right, so 911 Club Sport GT3 R's production numbers, Maxipat, and then we'll see if we can find a price. There's always
Cup car.
Cup car. Yeah, cup car.
Cup car.
Cup car.
Yeah.
I think they called it a cup car.
I've not seen cup car a ton on the internet.
Oh, maybe.
But I mean, I've heard you say it a bunch of times, so I don't know.
Well, I don't know where I got cup car, but I think it is a cup car, but I don't know why I think it's a cup car. I don't even know what the definition of a cup car is, but I think maybe it's Porsche Cup or something like that. I don't know. Did I just make up cup car?
I don't think you made it up. I think people say it all the time.
Yeah. So maybe it's just labeled that, and it's nothing in the official title. All right. So what else are you thinking about?
I'm seeing 66.
They made 66. Yeah, I thought 55, but yeah, 66. That makes sense.
A cup car adheres to a front engine rear wheel drive design. A roll cage serves as a space frame chassis.
Well, that's Winston Cup car.
Yeah, that's
right?
The Cup Series. So that's that's where you're going to get confusing, because when you're going to look it up, you're just going to find all the NASCAR stuff.
Right. It's like, it's like when they do those auto shows and they go, this car raced at the 24 Hours of Daytona, and then they show the NASCAR race picture that drives me insane.
Porsche says the GT3 Cup is the world's best-selling race car.
Wow, so it's got Cup in there.
But then I'm seeing like a Motor Trend article where it says that the Cup car is based on the shape. So,
Yeah, but and then you'll see that Porsche says Cup cars are built by the factory to Porsche Cup Racing Series specs.
Yeah. All right. See if you can find any of those, one of those for sale somewhere. I'm going back to thinking these cars are a little undervalued. Think about it. I mean, 911s are expensive anyway. You know, if you want a 73 911S, it's 200 grand now, 150, 200 grand. Like 911s are just expensive in general. And then any 911 that has any kind of factory, whatever, is expensive.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think I've seen these cars for, you know, 85 to 100 around, which seems like they're a little undervalued. And by the way, everyone listen to me, because whenever I start thinking about a car and I go, that car seems a little undervalued, they pop up.
Yeah.
Like those.
Yeah. Well, Ryan's dad doesn't give a shit.
Those.
what you say.
Yeah.
He's out.
His golf buddies recommended some pretty decent cars, though, so I cannot push back. But like I've been saying, like the Mercedes 230 Pagoda or whatever those things are, like I was like, those things were $35,000 all day long. And I'm like, those cars are, they got a straight six in them. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of not that, you know, if you squint, it's not that far off the Gullwing, you know, convertible 300. And I'm like, why are those cars at 30, 30, 35? And they've been, they've been popping up pretty fast.
It's funny. You and I were talking the other day about how, well, we've said it a million times about how the big brother often pulls up the little brother on cars specifically, like a 190 Mercedes and a Gullwing. But now we're starting to see almost entire genres get pulled up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like an example, like some Japanese cars are getting bigger dollars. So now it's drawing more attention to Japanese cars, you know, racing cars and street cars and bringing those up. People are starting to find the unique ones, the limited editions, the limited builds, and going, oh, you know, hey, we've been paying attention to, you know, NSX or Toyota Supra Turbo and, you know, not just Toyota 2000 GT, but some of the more modern ones, and go, well, what's next? And then that's when you get a Subaru WRX selling for $300,000.
I'm bringing a trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And on the subject of praise for me.
were we on that subject?
I'm always on that subject. Okay. I will tell you the cars that are undervalued and should be moving up.
Yeah.
Those Toyota 2000s were, they got to $1 million.
Yes.
And I just said, that's a glorified Z car. That's a 240Z that's down half a liter and added a cam. Mm-hmm. Like, that is not a $1 million car. I announced that all day long. There are none for sale now. Mm-hmm. And if there is one for sale, it ain't making it to 500 grand.
That right, car, but everybody just paid a bunch of money for them. That's why there's none for sale.
That car literally went from $1 million to under 500 in 2.5 years.
Yeah. Which is...
Everybody listen to me.
Which is weird because it's not like... It's not like all of a sudden so many changed hands. They're still pretty limited. It was just people, well, I guess, were just thinking it's just not enough car for that much money.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't get saturated.
Right. Last one. I think some of those are like on Race Car Direct or something like out of Europe. But what did the last one sell for beside mine?
It didn't sell, but it was estimated at $400,000 to $600,000. At Pebble, 400,000 to 600,000 at Pebble for, but this
that all, sounds peculiar to me and Matt, though the Matt not as vocal as I am. That seems like a different car.
Okay, it might be then,
because this is way off that ain't Florida. I don't, unless that car had a ton of history.
It does have a ton of history.
Could have had a ton of history. Yeah. So maybe that was.
Okay, you said it was at Pebble, so, I mean, you know, the auction there.
Yeah, I think that Race Cars Direct or some one of those like European whatever race car sites probably has one. All right, you want to hit your spots there?
Yeah, just a reminder from our friends at JB Weld. You know, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And just a final word from our friends at Dodge. You know, Dodge is ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first brand ever in the U.S. to get number one in quality and appeal in the same year. So visit Dodge.com to schedule your test drive today.
All right. We'll see if Max Spada can find one of those cars in the next 15
on
seconds.
Race Car Direct, I see one for a little over 157,000.
Oh, yeah. Let's see that car. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So what year is that there? 2000? Mm-hmm. Right. Wonder how much history it has. But, you know, that's what they're asking. 150-something. They're, you know, probably take one. Matt, what would you get them down to? 127?
$47,000. Yeah, what were they asking? $150. You know, we would make an argument as to the Newman car and what was paid for that car, and that one being a little bit better. I think that car is $150. I think it's $120.
Yeah, I'm saying those cars are about $100,000 or $100,000 plus. I think there's value there for they're 20 years old now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's value there for the future, and you can go have some fun in it. All right, let me tell you guys that Appleton, Wisconsin's almost sold out. Skyline Comedy Club, May 7th and 8th. We're doing stand-up and podcasting there. Jam in the Van out May 22nd out here in Los Angeles, and we're doing a live pod there. You go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows and tons of great automotive stuff. Adam Carolla is going racing. We're just getting a bunch of new episodes up mm-hmm. there on channel, Chassis Channel and Pluto TV. Is it 687? That seems, yeah. I don't know why it seems different to me than it was.
Yeah, I don't know why either. I think like in the past you used to say it was like 5 something, but it's 687. I checked.
Oh, it's not 585?
Correct.
Why would you ever say that in the past if it was never 5?
I don't know.
687.
I went on Pluto. I mean, you could just search the name Chassis and you'll find it. But
oh, okay. I'll do that. We should talk to Nate about that. Seems weird. I've said 585 like 700 times.
Okay.
It's weird.
All right, but thanks. Recently moved. I don't know.
Thanks for checking. That's a good idea. Yeah. What do you got, Matt?
Just follow me at Motorator on social media, and I'll be posting some more photos of those cars and stuff. We can talk about them.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.